Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's show, we'll be talking about the Hotspot Clicker utilities and interviewing Jim Snowbarger, who's the developer of these unique utilities.
But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Jim Snowbarger, who we'll meet in a few minutes.
I was very fortunate to have parents that were just great about blindness. They understood that when it came to blindness, I was going to have to be the expert. They weren't. And they never told me, you can't do stuff. You need to be realistic. You need to lower your settings. You know, they just always gave me the clear impression that they expected me to succeed, and it was my job to figure out how. And I really always appreciated that confidence. It just made me committed to pushing back the limits of blindness as far as I could.
Boy, and that is such a big thing, to have people support you in that way, to let you know that you're able to do something and that they expect you to be able to do things that other people do. You know, I feel that my parents were like that also. When people ask me, you know, how does a blind person do some of these things you do? How did you get so far? And I always credit my parents for raising me to be independent, but yet supporting me when I needed support. But they always encouraged me to do the things that I needed to do and that were going to make me do better in life.
And boy, that's worked out pretty well for Pete. That was a song that Jim Snowbarger wrote, played, and produced called Hold Me in Your Arms.
In addition to his other talents, he's also a music writer, composer, and performer. So that was kind of interesting to learn during our talk with him.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll actually meet Jim Snowbarger, who developed the Hotspot Clicker utility.
I'm Jim Snowbarger. I grew up in southern Iowa. I've been blind since early childhood. Barely remember seeing a little bit, but went to the school for the blind, totally blind all along. Got my degree in electrical engineering in about 1975 and have worked in the engineering field since then, and living in rural Iowa even now, still working in the engineering field. And I'm kind of known for the Snowman radio broadcast and for JAWS scripts primarily in this community, and that's who I am.
So Jim's been involved in a whole lot of different activities that folks might recognize, and it's kind of interesting to hear his voice after all this time because I've heard so much about him otherwise.
Well, that's one of the neat things about doing this radio show is people whose names we've seen in emails and on various distribution lists, we actually get to talk to them and hear the voices and meet the people.
Yeah, it really is fun. There are people behind all those names.
As Jim mentioned, he's been blind most of his life, so we asked him what the cause of his blindness is.
Glaucoma at an early age, undetected. Nobody knew what it was, and so it was not treated, and the result was total and complete loss. But I don't really remember losing my sight. And it just has always seemed like it was that way. I was so young that I didn't know it was an issue.
That was kind of similar to my situation. I mean, decades ago, people didn't know that glaucoma could occur in young children. So I was born with congenital glaucoma, and it wasn't recognized for maybe 6 months to a year after I was born. These days, they know to check for that. But glaucoma is usually a disease that afflicts older people. They generally have you start checking your eye pressure when you're over 40. And these days, if they recognize that, they can control it with drops. And if it gets really serious, there are some modern surgical procedures that they can use.
So anyway, back to Jim. If you remember Jim, that's who we were really talking about. Some of you may know him from his Snowman radio show.
Well, the Snowman radio broadcast was kind of a dream that I had for probably 10 years and tried to do some little prototypes of before, but it was really a talk show that was aimed at the art of wasting time. I just thought, you know, there's so much more to life than politics, and there's just all this wacky stuff to think about, sort of George Carlin-ish, if you will. And some friends of mine had started Livestream America, which is an early streaming outfit way back in the 90s. And quite frankly, they needed material to fill time. And I just agreed to put this together just quite simply to give them air material. And the show never really took itself very seriously, although it always said that it did. It never tried to accomplish anything. I would just open the mic and just talk about, just stream of consciousness, you know, whatever came to my head. And I wouldn't take any phone calls. I wouldn't take any emails. I didn't care what the listeners thought about anything. I quite simply wanted to open my head and let it ramble for their benefit. So that's what I did. And then it kind of evolved into multi-track audio production with me talking to me. So we had conversations, and I'm still impressed with how realistic I got that to sound. It sounds like two or three people interacting.
Although I did know of the show a long time ago, I had never actually listened to a show. So we asked Jim to send us a couple of clips from some of his shows, and they're actually pretty funny.
Good to see you again.
Yes, indeed. Good to see you as well. And I must say that I was a tad worried a moment ago when I heard you cascading off the top of the mountain there.
Oh, man, that wasn't me.
No, that wasn't you, huh?
No way, man. Was it you?
Well, no. Not as far as I know. However, the possibility does remain that it might have been an earlier event.
Aha.
Recorded for a more convenient broadcast at a later time.
Ah, it's happened before then.
Oh, certainly, certainly, certainly.
And you lived through it.
Well, I either that or I'm risen from the dead.
Well, I'll tell you what. You're a lucky man. If anybody could live through it, you'd be the man.
I'm the man.
And that's all Jim doing some multi-track recording and having a good time with it, obviously.
So we complimented him on having a beautiful voice, at least one of those voices we really liked. And we learned that, among other things, he also writes and produces commercials and does voiceovers. And here's an example of that.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you.
So you can see he makes good use of his voice, and he really does have a great radio voice, as we pointed out to him.
You are listening to Viewpoints. Viewpoint. 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 Viewpoint.
Turning now to this week's focus topic, we'll actually discuss the Hotspot Clicker utility that Jim Snobarger developed. We started by asking him to explain what it is.
Hotspot Clicker is a set of JAWS scripts. The way JAWS scripts work is that you can write scripts for a particular application if you want, or get them from somebody else, and those scripts can refer to other scripts that they bring in. And it's sort of like saying, yeah, do what I wrote here, but also bring these other things in. Well, Hotspot Clicker is a second level of scripts like that that you bring into your application scripts. And what it is a way to take the mouse to a screen location and do a click action or say some text. Basically, that's it. There's a lot more to it, but that's the core of it.
And these tools can be pretty useful, as you'll find out later. Jim's been working on these for quite a while, and it started out as a small idea and kind of mushroomed over time.
How I got started on that was back in probably 2004 or 5, something like that. A guy that I knew called me and said, I'm working at this job, and they've changed software, and I have to take my mouse to this screen location, and there's nothing there. It's blank, so I can't even find it. I just got to go there and click. And once I do that, things start coming up in menus and I can work. But I got to get there first. Well, he didn't know how to write JAWS scripts. And, you know, for those of us who do, to write a simple script to do that is not really a big deal. But for him, it was. And I thought, well, gosh, why don't we have a little tool for him to just have a sighted guy put the mouse there and just say, okay, when I press this hotkey, go there and do that.
And so often when you get started, someone asks you a little question, you say, oh, that should be easy. I'll just write a little tool. And then it mushrooms and mushrooms and mushrooms. And this thing's turned out pretty huge and really useful.
It's quite a package and reasonably simple to use, too. But how many of you have been frustrated with just having these applications that are essentially graphical in nature, and of course your screen reader doesn't see anything on the screen because it needs some text to go along with what's on the screen, and that can be really frustrating. And Jim's worked out a way to deal with those applications. That's what the Hotspot Clicker utilities are all about.
So we learned a little bit about what the Hotspot Clicker utilities can do. Here's how you might use them.
So you have this tool, and you can get this tool free and put it in your system, and it doesn't do anything until you connect it into an application. And once you have it, you can put the mouse places, and you can define what we call these hotspots, and they get stored in hotspot sets. Hotspot sets are really just files that you can move from one machine to another, one hotspot clicker user to another, running the same application, and share these little hotspot definitions. And people are, in fact, doing that quite a lot now. So it's like this little cottage industry that's happened on top of Hotspot Clicker, which has happened on top of JAWS, which has happened on top of Windows. And everybody's using everybody's other stuff, you know. But people are coming up with apps that are just blank screen. You can't tell anything about them. And they're figuring out these little hotspot sets. And some are giving them away, some are selling them. And they're all using my free tool to do it. You know, even if you don't have a complicated app like I described that has just blank screen space, you can use it in really simple ways to just make life easier. You know, like you got a control that you can get to, but you have to tab, tab, tab to get there. It doesn't have a hotkey. Well, with HSC, you can make a hotkey. No more tab, tab, tabbing, and it saves you time and effort.
You know, it's really great of Jim to put in the time so generously and then share these with other people so they can leverage off his work and expand it to be useful for many other applications. And it's kind of interesting to see how a community of developers around the world can share these things and make use of them.
So he did talk about people sharing Hotspot Clicker sets that they've created. So we'll be discussing how you can create a set of these, but since he mentioned it, this is how you would share a set that you've created.
Most of the work goes around hotspotclicker.org, and so that's a good site to go to. And I would say to somebody else that starts developing these, if you got some that are working pretty good and you'd like to share, hotspotclicker.org is where you might want to post that, and you can't post it yourself. But we can get them posted for you. So if you want to get a hold of me or Phil, we can get that up there. You can contact me using the address snowman@snowmanradio.com.
And as Nancy said, we'll be talking a little bit about how you can get started developing your own hotspot clicker sets to use for yourself or to share with others.
Now, he mentioned someone named Phil. Phil is Phil Muir, who we interviewed in show number 1137. He's developed many hotspot clicker sets for sonar and other audio applications. He's a musician and music producer in England, and so he talks about the hotspot clicker sets for all of these musical tools.
By the way, you'll often see the hotspot clicker sets referred to just by their acronym as HSC or HSC sets. So if you see that, you know what it is.
So now let's talk a little bit more about what functions the Hotspot Clicker utility enables and why you might want to use them.
One of the hard things is finding a control that moves around, especially when it's not visible to JAWS. It doesn't show up as an item that JAWS can get a hold of. We can search for a graphic. We can search for color combinations. We can search for text. You can basically define your hotspot to say, it's somewhere around here. I don't exactly know where it is, but it's close in this region. And if you search for, say, a pixel of a certain color in the right, go to the right, but don't go to the left. Or you can go up and to the right, but don't go down, you know, restrictions like that. And we can sort of find it as it wanders around the screen. We talked about batching things together where you want to click this control, then that one, then that one, then that one. So you can kind of write these little macros. If your application doesn't have a tab order at all, you press the tab key and nothing happens. you can use HSC to simulate a tab order. That is to say, when I push the tab, it will focus on that particular control. And then I push tab, it focuses over here, just like you'd expect. So we're basically creating a tab order. What else can we do? There are some really cool mouse exploration utilities in there that are great for when you're defining hotspots. You want to find out what a pixel color is. You want to just mouse around and look for how color changes. And we're talking about not necessarily just on text, but out in the middle of blank space. And that kind of information can help you define how your hotspot should work. And it has little utilities in there, like mark a spot on the screen and then go somewhere else and then fly back to that bookmark so I can remember where I was, or go somewhere else and then tell me how far have I moved. You move 3 pixels down and 420 pixels to the right. Well, it's not typically important to you, but when you're actually trying to scope out how an application looks, it can be instructive to you. Let's say you're tracing through a bunch of white space, and it's just white, white, white everywhere. And you say, well, I know there's a red thing over here somewhere, but I don't want to go 1 pixel at a time looking for it. Well, we can just buzz through all the whites and find the next thing that's not white and tell you how far we moved. So you, again, are just getting a picture of what's actually on screen that JAWS can't tell you about.
Most of my experience with the hotspot clicker utilities and HSC sets is with sonar. We talked with Victor Saran about using sonar and the JSonar scripts in Viewpoints 1151 late last year. Basically, what happens in sonar is there are a lot of things called plugins, where there's a third-party utility where they include some audio effects like reverb and limiters and compressors, and these utilities display a screen that's basically graphical in nature, and it has a lot of switches and sliders that don't have any text labels on them. And you need to know how far was a certain knob turned. Well, you can see that graphically. You can't actually tell how far the slider moved or knob was turned with JAWS alone. And the hotspot clicker utilities make it possible to establish values from how far these items have moved. Also, these utilities enable you to bring up lots of other menus that are associated in these plugins that are essentially graphical items.
We actually are using sonar to record these shows, and let me tell you, even if you can see, it's mind-boggling, the sheer number of buttons and knobs and meters and traces and things moving, and it's unbelievable what's on the screen. I have no idea how Pete does it blind.
Well, it's real nice that people like Phil Muir and others have taken a lot of their own time to develop hotspot clicker sets for these utilities and for the various plugins, and then share them with others. Now, as a quick example of how these HSC utilities are used along with some of the sonar plugins, I brought up the equalizer plugin on one of my audio tracks. This is just a series of different frequencies that you can make louder and softer through your project to make things balanced out a little better. Now, on this screen, if I look around with the JAWS cursor, it's virtually blank. I see some numbers around the screen and some stray words here and there, but I can't navigate to any controls and nothing looks very obvious. But someone has defined some hotspot clicker sets for this plugin, and so all I have to do is to hit Control-Shift-Alt-F1.
Sonitus underline FX equalizer hotspots.
And that brings up a list of all the hotspots that are defined for this plugin, and I can just arrow down to listen to them all.
Band 1 disabled. Band 1 filter. Band 2 equals Band 2 disabled. Page down. Frequency 1 slider. Frequency 2 equals Alt plus 2.
So you can see there are lots of hotspots defined here that allow me to enable or disable various frequency bands, set the frequency of those bands, and there are many other options and hotspots defined. Another way of accessing some of the hotspots, if you don't want to go through that whole list of menus, there are also hotkeys defined for accessing various ones of the hotspots. So for example, I can hit Control 1.
1. Band 1 disabled.
And that disables band 1. Now I can hit Control 1 again, it toggles it back on.
Band 1 enabled.
Similarly, I can hit Control 2.
2. Band 2 disabled. Band 2 enabled.
And do it again to enable or disable band 2, and I can do that for band 3, band 4, etc. If I hit Alt and one of the numbers, like Alt 1.
Frequency 1. Edit 100.
That brings up the frequency for that band, and I can edit the frequency for that band. So you can see these utilities are very useful. In fact, they make it possible for me to work with this particular plugin. And that's the power of the HSC sets and the HSC utilities.
I want to tell the world how I lost and found your love. How every night we're not together is a night no moon above. How much I regret.
That was more of the same song we played earlier that Jim Snowbarger wrote, played, as you can tell, sang, and produced, called Hold Me in Your Arms.
Yeah, not only does he have a good radio voice, he also is a good vocalist, too.
Now for this week's high-tech item, how you can create your own hotspot clicker sets for whatever application you're trying to use.
The simplest way to define them is that there's a hotkey that we gobble up a few hotkeys. Sorry about that. But you press this one hotkey, as I explained in the documentation, and it just asks you a few questions. You got to put the cursor where you want to establish the hotspot first, the Jaws cursor or the mouse. But once you push the hotkey, it's just a question and answer thing. And so it asks you things like, you know, what do you want to call it? What kind of mouse click would you like to do? Or would you like to say a unit of text of word, sentence, paragraph, line, what have you? What hotkey do you want to assign it to? Or maybe you don't. Maybe you don't even want to do that. You just want to put it in a list and give it a name. That's the essence of it.
So as you can tell, Jim made this so that it's relatively easy to use these hotspot clicker utilities to develop your own hotspot sets for a particular application to make it act the way you'd like it to act. What's really kind of neat is not only did he develop all the underpinnings and all the code to make the HSC utilities do these different functions, but the wizard that he made actually makes it simple to use these utilities without knowing a whole lot of coding yourself.
Now, of course, the whole point of the hotspot clicker utilities is so that you can work independently if you can't see the graphical user interfaces with whatever application you're using. So, of course, you wouldn't try to develop them if you didn't have an application that had stuff that you couldn't access with your screen reader. So I asked him, do you need sighted help to create the hotspot sets for these applications that are otherwise inaccessible?
It's perfectly possible to use it without sighted help. A lot of us do it most of the time. And we do it sort of with this pixel color thing I was kind of wandering through there, where, you know, we're looking at colors and what's changing and all of that. But it's time consuming. You generally can do it. Well, in fact, here's one part of it that does help when you don't have sighted people around to help. A lot of times applications will put up tooltips. When you put the mouse in a certain location, this little piece of text will suddenly pop up saying, here, this is what this is. But until you put the mouse there, you don't get to read that. Well, HSC has this little painfully slow utility that we call the tooltip scanner, which you start and honestly go to lunch because it takes a long time. But it goes through the whole screen one pixel at a time and waits for these tooltips to appear and builds a list for you. So when you get done and get back from lunch, you can look at all of the tooltips that were discovered, and now you can make hotspots out of those. That, to me, is just wonderfully powerful. When you don't got a sighted guy around, that does the trick. But if you do have one, then you make a great team because he can just push the mouse to there and tell you what that is, and you can just drive the little wizard, and between the two of you, you make progress.
So as Jim explains, it is certainly possible to do it if you're not sighted and just using a screen reader. It may be a little bit more time-consuming. It may be a little bit more tricky or difficult to do that. It'd certainly be easier with sighted assistance, but many people do put together their own hotspot clicker sets just using JAWS and the JAWS cursor or whatever other program they're using.
And here's one more hint that'll help you be more successful if you actually remember to do this.
One thing that has to go on is that occasionally it asks you to, when it says something like trim dynamic information is like, the title, the window title for a notepad. It has the name of the document in the window title. So if your hotspot's interested in the window title, it shouldn't include the document name, or your hotspot will only work while you have that document open. Maybe that's what you want. But that's the kind of decision that you get to make. You know, is this piece of information going to change, or is it always going to be the same? So you have to do that little piece. And probably that's where people fall down most, is that they don't take out the information that isn't going to remain constant. And they open a new document, and the hotspots don't work anymore. And they wonder why my tool doesn't work.
So in addition to putting together these very neat tools that are very useful, and along with the wizard that makes it easier to develop the HSC sets for your particular application, Jim also has some very good documentation on his website, hotspotclicker.org. And it's very clearly written, very complete, and you should read through that certainly before developing your own hotspot clicker sets. But as we indicated, you don't need to be a JAWS scripter or a programmer to use these utilities. You just need to be familiar with the methods on how to use them and how to apply them.
If you missed any of the links that we've been giving, they're all in the show notes, which you can find at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net. That's it for show number 1216. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about sport camps for visually impaired children. Camp Abilities is a sport camp for visually impaired children with over a dozen locations in the U.S. and several other countries. We'll talk with its founder, Dr. Lauren Lieberman, about how they use the camp to teach and empower the campers, to teach future physical education teachers, and to do research to improve understanding and teaching methods. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.